Some of the people outside are trying to give me good advice through our recent troubles have told me, Ken, you know, you don't need those kind of people anyway. Who did you lose? You lost the weak. You lost the unspiritual. You lost the ones that you had to constantly wrestle with. What did God say? They're necessary, aren't they? And that's why it hurts. Oh, there are people that are not here this morning. You'd be encouraged if they were spilling some seeds, wouldn't you? Give you a good shot in the arm. Well, be encouraged by the ones that are sitting next to you. Spilling some seeds in here. Be encouraged. Focus on that. And know that you are important. The fact that you are here, whether you're a visitor or a new convert or somebody that's been around for years, you are important. I need you this morning. And so does the person, the man or woman next to you. They need you. We need each other. We need Christ. And that's how we need Christ. Christ said, you place your burdens on my shoulders and I'll bear your burdens. And in Galatians chapter 6, he says how he'll do that. He says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. The commandment of Christ, the rule of Christ, which is what? Cast your burdens on his shoulders. How do I cast my burdens on Christ's shoulders? Come here, I want to put my burdens on you. Come here, I want you to throw your burdens on me. You couple, I'm a burden, huh? So I'm a burden, huh? Well, sorry, excuse me. I'm a burden, huh? Yeah, you don't even know the beginning of it. And Christ said, that's the law of Christ. Fulfilling that. Knowing, number one, you got burdens. And you are a burden. And you need to let each man bear his own burdens and bear ye one another's burdens. That's describing to me loyalty. 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 He says, look, they're more necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow a more abundant honor. And on our ugly members, the ugly ones, seem to have more abundant beauty. That's ugly with three U's, by the way. Verse 24. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it. All beautiful members, they don't need the beauty. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. That there should be no division in the body. There's got to be loyalty. But that the members should have the same, there it is, care one for another. You can't talk about my, he's my brother, you can't talk about him that way. If one member suffers, all the members of the body suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members of the body rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, but individually, members of it. You've got an individual responsibility, a loyalty to the body. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 teaches the same thing. The Bible says that it's compacted by that which every joint supplies to the proper working, for the proper working of each individual part. To the building up of itself in love. That's about verse 16, Ephesians 4. There are not many loyal people out there. And there are many people we will baptize, and maybe at one point you were one of them. That got baptized for totally unloyal, disloyal reasons. Loyalty wasn't the question or something in your mind at all. Especially loyalty to man in any way. You thought somehow that your loyalty could be expressed to God regardless of men, without people. Without your neighbor, without your brother. Without one another. I hope after today's lesson, maybe we've learned something. Maybe we'll learn something that will change us for the rest of our lives. I asked somebody, how do you produce loyalty in others? He said, you have to
live a life that demands it and expects it of others. You have to project loyalty to get it. And certainly teach about it. Proverbs chapter 20 says that many a man, here's the verse that says trustworthy and loyal are the same, by the way. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. By the way, women, you're in there too. How many women have told me, and how many men have told me, you've got to worry about me? 2 days later, I had to worry about them. Especially through these troubles, I've had people say, I'm fine, you don't have to worry about me. And 3 days later, find out, they don't even know if they're coming back anymore. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. Many people say, I'm trustworthy, and I live according to the law of Christ. And they print literature condemning growth in churches of the Lord. Saying they're growing, they must be doing something wrong. Seriously, that's what you're saying. If they were doing it right, they'd be stagnant and dead like we are. They'd be crystallized like we are. They're not doing that, so they must be doing something wrong. Brian's getting a lot out of this. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but even God says, but who can find a trustworthy man? Solomon realized that too. He says, who can find him? That's a rhetorical question. You know what that is? The point is, the answer is obvious. It's difficult, isn't it? You really can't find too many trustworthy people. So if you want to strive for something in Christ, if you want to strive to be something, strive for this. Loyalty. To be trustworthy. Reliable. Dependable. In many words, they all say the same thing, right? Can you be loyal and undependable? No, the result of loyalty will be dependability. Loyal and trustworthy are both the same thing, aren't they? Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. Huh, but who can find a trustworthy man? I'm going to strive from this lesson forward, forgetting what lies behind, pressing on to what lies ahead for the great goal, the upward call in Christ. I'm going to strive to be loyal. Loyal to you in a way I've never been before, in intensity and in practice. Who will join me? Who will join me? Who will join me? By this, all the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. By your loyalty to one another. It'll be attractive to be part of a group that, once you're part of that group, nobody in that group talks about anybody else in that group very easily. If they do, it don't work out very good for you. Unless you're genuinely trying to help. And if there's circumstances where something might need to be shared, but there's a difference between that and talking about somebody, slandering, maligning somebody, gossiping about somebody. Malice. Oh, yeah. There's a difference, isn't there? It's different from saying, somebody's got a problem, I think we need to help them. We need to help them. We need to talk to them. Could you encourage him or her? There's a difference between that and saying, yeah, they're weak. They probably won't amount to much. What is he trying to pull now? Did you hear what she was trying to do? Do you hear what she's doing or asking? What do you think about that? Oh, I'm not trying to gossip. I want your input. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, I'm not trying to gossip or anything, but they said these things, and this went on like this, and I don't know, man. It didn't sound good to me. What do you think? Of course, that's all good intention, right? Well, I don't know if it's good or bad. That's why I'm trying. Shut up if you don't know it's good or bad. Study it out and keep it to yourself in the meantime. And if it's bad, you talk to that person. If it's good, you talk to that person. Why don't you ask them? They're the one that's doing it. Or not doing it. They're the one you got a question about, aren't they? Oh, yeah, then that's who you deal with. Well, I can't deal with him. He always proves himself right. I can't deal with her. She's a good friend of the preacher and his wife. I can't deal with him. They'll be supportive. Oh, I see. You're not going to even be selected as to who you go to. Any chance that they might be supportive, they won't let you get away with saying that. You ain't going to talk to them. Well, I know you're not loyal, then, if anything. There are people like that. Yeah. And as loyal as they are, we are not going to go anywhere. The fruitful multiplying ministries love God by loving their neighbor. Jesus said so. The fruitful and multiplying ministries love God through their love of the brethren. The fruitful and multiplying ministries submit to one another in the fear of Christ, and that is their submission to God. The fruitful and multiplying ministries understand that God wants loyalty rather than even worship services. And He wants the worship service. He wants us to come together and praise Him, and encourage one another. And even that can be an expression of loyalty, if it's the proper understanding. The fruitful multiplying ministries understand that righteousness and loyalty is something that must be pursued and chased after, and in fact that it's required of every faithful steward of God. God wants it. Loyalty. Trustworthiness. That is demanded of in the body of Christ. The fact is that there's only a few that will be loyal. But they understand they want to be those few. A few? 2,000 people don't sound like a few. By 1989, there will be 5 billion people in the world. There will be 5 billion people in the world. 2,000 is a few. 3,000 is a few. 10,000, 20,000 is a few. A million is a few. That is, there will be 5,000 million people in the world. 5,000 million people in the world. In just a couple of 3 years. It was less than 10 years ago that there were 4 billion. It was 1976. Another billion just were added, and it'll be less than about 13 years, another billion. The next billion, there'll be approximately 10 billion people by the year 2000. Right now, in the world. Just a few. Who can find a trustworthy man? Will you proclaim your own loyalty, or will you be loyal? That's the question, isn't it? Will you say how loyal you are, or will you be loyal? Did Peter proclaim his own loyalty? The waters will betray you, Lord. I shall never leave you. Are you one of his disciples?
Nah.
Are you sure you're not one of his disciples?
No way, no.
Surely you're one of his disciples. The way you talk gives you away.
Yeah. I'm no way. Get out of here. The Bible says you began to curse and swear. I didn't want to act that out for you. I said, thank you.
The Lord will betray you. I'll never do that. You can count on me.
Peter says, Jesus says, yeah, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. We can find a trustworthy man. What's your goal? Are you going to get discouraged by the times you've been disloyal?
Get discouraged, get convicted, repent, and move on to higher ground. Set your sights off the mud poles, off of the rainbow, and let's move together.
I want to be loyal to you in a way I've never been before. Are you with me? Are you with me here? We'll do it together. You need to repent of anything. You need to become a Christian this morning. Whatever you want, if there's any way we can help you, the time to do it is to come forward and sit on this front row as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Tenderly Jesus is calling.
Won't you do that today? Don't you once and for all do that today and stop saying, oh, I'm fine. Good lesson. Good. Go. Fine. I'm fine. And you're not fine. Because your focus is still down on the ground looking in the mud puddles. Looking for the dirt. Get your eyes up. Look to the hills. Look to the mountains. Look to the sky for the rainbow of hope. The rainbow promise of God from Genesis. He is telling me my sermon's over. A little beat to it and everything. If you need to respond to the lesson, if you've got some serious repentance to do that prayers of faithful people will help you with, then don't be afraid. Put aside the pride and come forward. And don't make a practice of every week having to come forward for the same thing. Unless you need to keep focusing and getting your focus up. If you need help, fine. But this is something that will change your life. And if you're not in Jesus, you can't even begin to have this. But you can take this hope and look at that and say, yeah, I want a piece of that action. I want part of that. I want that. I mean, what would you not want this for? If you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins to become united with Him in His watery grave, then let this be one of the greatest attractions for you of hope, confidence, assurance. The world outside and all the churches, including the one across the street, I'm sure is talking about all kinds of hope that they got today because of the resurrection. And you and I know what God said from His Word about that. But it's not enough for us to say we got the doctrine if we're not going to live it or believe it. Let's start doing that and look for better things, better promises. If you need to respond to the lesson, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation? 720.
My Savior, come to me.